Welcome to Listen to Real Coaching, Volume 7. This is Jamie Tenzer along with Sherry Boone, and we are happy to showcase this masterful coaching session with Laura Stevens Reed, PCC. Notice the way Laura seamlessly sets the agreement, evokes awareness through her clarifying questions, and celebrates her client's learning at the close of the session.
So everyone, we invite you now to sit back and listen into this coaching session. Laura and your client, thank you so much for joining us today. And when you're ready, Laura, please begin your coaching.
Hey, great. Thank you, Sherry and Jamie. Well, Happy New Year, Iona. How are you today?
I am doing just fine, thank you.
How are Good. You? Good. I am doing well.
Good.
And glad to be talking with you today.
Indeed.
Were you able to get some downtime after Christmas?
Sort of.
Just jump right back into it.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much. It seems like Lent is about here and all the things that go with that is swirling, but I'm doing okay.
Well, good, good.
Yeah.
Well, what would you like to focus our coaching conversation on today?
So I have been up in the middle of the night pondering sabbatical take two. And I wanted to talk through that a little bit today.
Okay. What specifically about sabbatical take two?
So I have been realizing that I have such decision fatigue around how to schedule sabbatical this year after having canceled it last year. And I don't even know where to begin figuring out all of the pieces to the puzzle and hoping to avoid yet another canceled sabbatical situation. Because I don't think my emotional well-being can take that one more time. And I realize I'm also so past needing sabbatical that it seems impossible to figure out how to even take it.
Okay. So what can we kind of dig down on today that will help you get some traction with decision fatigue and move you towards some planning?
Yeah, I was pondering that and I was thinking about the four things, well, maybe five things, if I consider timing the other one, that I'm sort of juggling in my head.
Okay.
One is church life and sort of the church rhythms, thinking about the important things coming up in the life of the church, the pandemic being uncertain, not having any idea when we might regather as a congregation. Thinking about my kids and their schooling, they have been 100% remote. There is still talk that they might return, but I have no idea when or how or what that might look like. And then there's my spouse and his work and trying to figure out that piece to the puzzle. Then there is the ability to travel. Like we want to do something fun. And taking sabbatical in the midst of a pandemic when my kids are learning from home just sounds like no fun. And then the piece of the puzzle of, do I take it all together? Do I split it up? How do I do that? I mean, I had this 3-month chunk of summer with an amazing trip planned for last year. I just don't know how to juggle all of those pieces and make a plan that won't get canceled. That's what I've got.
Well, before we kind of jump into some of these details, what is it that you are needing from your sabbatical, whatever it looks like and whenever it is?
Oh, I need rest. I am weary and I need to completely deep unplug, I guess is the word. the constantness that is pastoring life, where my phone rings all the time, the emails are constant, the text messages come, the Facebook messages come. And so just to completely disconnect entirely, I mean, to forward my Google Voice phone to somebody else for some chunk of time, all of that resting is what I'm just desperate for.
Mm-hmm. How will that rest and that ability to unplug affect how you show up for your church upon your return from sabbatical?
I for sure think I'm going to show up in a better place.
Okay.
Once I am rested, I feel like I am not giving them my best self and best work right now. I mean, I'm giving them enough, but I'm not giving it my best because I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine being well rested and just the work we can do together from that place is such a more positive thing.
Yeah. So you've named the why for your sabbatical, and there are these different pieces of timing that you're trying to figure out. So what specifically do you hope to take away from our conversation to help you manage the timing pieces so that you get the rest and the unplugging?
You're not going to just tell me what to do?
Well, let me open my book to page 30. Oh, that page has been torn out. Sorry.
Shucks. I think I want to have have some tentative plan that I can begin to explore. And you're always good about helping me bring to the surface what is most important.
Mm-hmm.
And so to cull that piece so that I can make some of these decisions that have to get made so that I can plan.
So am I hearing that you want to come away with a plan to help you plan?
Yes.
Is that okay? Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think because there's a piece of it that's my planning, right? And my family's mm-hmm. planning. And then there's the piece that involves the church and figuring out the details there.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get to that piece, I need to have sort of a proposal and an idea in mind. And so to make some headway on that would be helpful.
Okay. So in order to put together that proposal, what are the kinds of information, what are the decisions you need to have made?
I think one of the biggest pieces I really need to think about is all of it at once or splitting it up.
Okay.
And I keep going back and forth between the incredible gift that is 3 months uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest and the unplugging that can happen in that, and the reality that is the unknown school situation, the abilities or lack thereof to travel. And I wonder about splitting it from the perspective of getting to some of it sooner and saving mm-hmm. some of it when potentially in the fall we can actually do something.
Okay. So as you think about the why for your sabbatical, the resting and the unplugging, what does that speak into this decision of all together or split it up?
The need for rest, I don't know how much longer that can wait.
Okay.
I mean, I've got vacation next week and the week after, and so that might provide enough to sort of limp along a little longer. But I don't know that it's going to provide enough to get me through to the fall, for instance, and taking all of it at once.
Okay. So what would your options be in terms of when you could take it all together or how you might split it up? What are the different possibilities there?
Yeah. So I've been pondering a 6 week and 6 week. So straight down the middle, with a spring and fall component, which is sort of option one. The travel piece being so uncertain for the spring. Because we've even talked about, which is just completely ridiculous, pulling the kids, not pulling them, because if they're not in person school, taking them, taking school with us and driving cross country to go see my family in New York after Easter or something like that. So that's like sort of possibility. But then if they go back to school, do I really want to keep them from school when they haven't been in person school in about a year? Or it will have been a year by March. And this is where I just get bogged down in all the decisions, and I just can see myself on the path of, it's too hard to make a decision, so I'm not going to do anything.
Okay. So instead of making a decision, what are the other options? Let's zoom back out.
Keeping going at the exhausted pace that I am, which is not really a good option at all.
And then taking your time off when?
Oh, when everything is back to normal, and then planning it. So months after that.
Ah.
Which is exhausting to just even think about.
So waiting even to plan it until precautions are removed, et cetera.
Right.
Okay.
Which I don't think I can do.
So it sounds almost like these are two opposite ends of the spectrum. One is to break it up and take it, take half of it as soon as Lent and Easter are over, and then the other part later. And then on the other end is waiting until you have some clarity about when you can travel and what you can do, et cetera. So what's in the middle? What are the middle options?
That's a good question. I wonder about what it would look and feel like to plan for things, for nothing to have changed in our world. And to develop a plan. And then if circumstances change, I can adapt to what we are doing versus the timing.
Okay. Say more about what you mean by what we adapting to what we're doing versus the timing.
The waiting for things to change in our pandemic world feels so uncertain. And like, I don't have a clue when that might be. That I wonder what it would do to just plan as though the pandemic is never going to go away, which is not good, not true, but to plan as though it's not. And to develop a plan that would work, pandemic or no pandemic.
Okay.
So that potentially I would not be disappointed.
Okay. what effect would planning as if the pandemic is going to go on forever have on your decision fatigue?
I think that it would allow for something. And not like we've planned a month long, you know, European vacation in March just to be disappointed. But instead to plan something that we can totally do. So if it is that driving to New York, you know, when can we go? Whether the kids are in school or not, what can we do regardless? So that I have something to look forward to. And then almost if things start to open up, then we can almost do more rather than less.
Okay.
And somehow more feels better than disappointment less again.
Mm-hmm. So what are your options if the pandemic is never ending? What are the options that are not dependent on it going away?
Well, I think if I take out the do the kids go back to school or not question and wait until school is out, no matter what capacity that is.
Okay.
Which looks at mid-June. That allows for one decision to not have to happen, which is if they go back and we have a big trip planned, then what?
Okay.
And so then if I think about some sort of, you know, right after they're out in June, month or two. And then I almost feel like if I hold a month until the fall, hopefully then we could do something. And if not, the kids hopefully will be back in person school. And then at least I could have the house to myself.
I hear that.
And I, at this point, even an empty house sounds like heaven on earth. That would allow for a little bit of everything without having to get all consumed in things that I can't control.
Okay. Yeah. How do you feel about waiting until mid-June for that 6 to 8 weeks? Because you said,
right,
you know, I need it sooner rather than later.
Right. I do have a month of vacation, which if I actually used it all, and I have even more based on some rollover from last year. So with these 2 weeks coming up, and if I were to plan two or even three after Easter, I think I might, because they're sort of spaced out well, I might be able to get to June.
Okay. With the added benefit, it sounds like, of taking all your vacation.
Yes. Yeah.
So how are you feeling about this possibility of taking out what you can't control, you know, kids' school, travel conditions, to look at mid-June, taking a big chunk and saving a chunk for the fall and using your vacation to kind of help pull you forward until that extended time away?
This feels entirely doable and hopeful.
Oh, good.
Yes. And thinking about some significant chunks of vacation between now and then also feels manageable. And I love that I got to a place of planning, even if the pandemic is not changed, if nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the piece I'm going to have to let go is if in mid-June the church is ready to regather, they can do that without me.
Mm. How could you prepare them and yourself starting now in case that's the scenario?
It almost feels like if I tell them now that this is my plan, what unfolds is beyond me. And so therefore, it's not like I planned to be gone while we're regathering. It's I had planned to be gone and this unfolded. And part of my not going last year was anticipating getting back together, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I can't do that again.
So you said you wanted to take away a plan to help you plan, you know, to be able to put together a proposal. What else do you need to have that?
I don't even know. I think this is enough of that I can go to my leadership and have a proposal of, you know, mid-June to mid-August, part one, October, November, somewhere in there, part two, and start working with them to plan toward that as a congregation, and then just working on my family end to figure out details of what we could do together.
Yeah, so you've got kind of basic information to take to your leadership, some thoughts, questions to take to your family. What do you need kind of internally to get the ball rolling on all of this?
Yeah, I think just this next vacation, sort of sitting with this picture of what's coming, to let go of some of the stress of what has been and start looking toward the future of what is, and get to a place of hopeful planning instead of just stagnant treading water.
How will you know if you've gotten to that place?
That's a good question. I think thinking about where I am in terms of planning and asking some of my leaders to help me on that journey. So that it's not mine alone to carry.
So then is that initial conversation or conversations a pre-vacation thing or a post-vacation thing?
Yeah, I have a meeting on Thursday Wednesday with my two key leaders. And so one of the things I had wanted to talk with them about is tentative sabbatical planning. And so that is the big piece to that puzzle. And then send in a few more emails to get some meetings in place for when I return. I think we'll get all of that moving.
Great.
Yes. Thank you.
Sure. So what do you want to kind of lock in terms of actions you're going to take to move you toward being able to take sabbatical, whatever is going on in the world?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk with my leaders and talk with my spouse and put some things on the calendar, some dates, if you will, so that I am starting to block it off.
Mm-hmm.
And start to think about how to communicate with the congregation about what's coming, mm-hmm. as well. Because they know that I had planned on it and had postponed. So communicating to them that it's coming, I think, feels really positive looking forward.
Yeah, you know, as you say that, that I wonder if it's a hopeful thing, not just for you, but for them. Oh,
yeah.
Things are, you know, are okay enough, no matter what else is going on, that Iona feels like she can take her sabbatical and, you know, we're in good shape here.
Yeah. And I think it's a big boost to the leaders that things are in good enough place that I can go.
Mm. Yeah.
And that I trust them.
Wow. Because you've all been putting in the work.
Yep.
To this point.
Yeah.
So you said you have a meeting with your leaders on Wednesday. Do you want to put a timeline on any of these other actions?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to email the other leader that I need to for my pastoral relations committee before I go on vacation. And I have a congregational meeting set for the end of February. And so I want to put something together for that. And that'll be post vacation, but that will be the part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I feel excited.
Good. Good. Is there anything else you need to feel ready to take these steps?
June.
You just need June to come. I hear you.
No, I think it feels like a really good plan, and it feels hopeful and it feels positive, and it feels like I made it over the decision fatigue hurdle.
Yay.
Yes. Thank you, Laura.
Sure. You got your actions, you got a timeline. What in a larger sense are you taking away from our conversation?
Hope and enthusiasm and excitement, which is fabulous.
Well, it has made my day that you feel hopeful and excited and enthusiastic. So I look forward to celebrating your time away with you.
Thank you, Laura, and I look forward to the next time we chat. And by then, I will have even more plans.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Laura.